Now, there's a catchy title. It's called Ooh, Something New. 8:33 the time, 27 minutes shy of 9 o'clock. Welcome to a Thursday edition of The Mornings with Ed Show on an absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach morning. As we do each and every Thursday, we are delighted to welcome our mayor. Mayor Sue Kemp steps in for a conversation with us today. Good morning, Mayor Kemp. How are you?
Hey, Ed. Pretty good this morning. How about you?
I'm having a great day. Thank you so much for asking. I'm watching the other night. I'm watching the council meeting as I always do. And first of all, very, very cool reading of the letters from the kids. I absolutely loved that.
Wasn't that so great? I mean, they showed up in my inbox at City Hall just a couple weeks ago. And, I read through all of them, looked at all their pictures. I mean, really, really cute. There were some really, really funny ones, but I didn't want to. Most of them were kind of funny,
right,
in a very sweet way.
Right.
And, you know, they talked about some of the things that they learned, which were funny. You know, some of them were funny. And, you know, if they wouldn't, you know, in their own little wits, they put things. It was really great. They came in to City Hall. So it was myself, somebody from the fire department, somebody from the police department. So, you know, of course, the headliners are the fire department and the police department.
Right.
kind of get the ball rolling with them. They ask me funny questions like, you know, do you have to pay for your own house, or, you know, can you do something about the gas prices?
There's just so much coolness in the thought of a kid, and you know what? It made my night. It made my night. Thank you for reading.
Really, super good. And then also we had the recognition of the 90th anniversary of the Festival of the Arts, which was really cool.
Yes, yes.
I think from 12 to 3 on the 13th at the festival grounds, we'll be celebrating that. That is phenomenal that we've had an institution like that endure for that many years.
Right. When I heard that number, I'm like, 90 years. My God, and it's really cool that they're actually they're throwing the celebration for us. I can't wait to attend.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Some of the other things we discussed, we brought forward a resolution amending the agenda setting process, establishing policy that relates to agendas for the city council meetings, and it repealed resolution number 6888. And I was curious, wasn't it always policy, or has that just been abused by some members of the council recently?
Well, I mean, I've been watching council meetings for years, and of course I haven't been on the council. I joined the council in 2018, but the way we've done it before is if I have something I want to put on the agenda, I just talk to the city manager.
Right.
And, in the case of John, he put it on. You know, sometimes it would take a while because they're, you know, juggling priorities and other work. But, for the most part, we just talked to the city manager. We tried a new procedure earlier in the year, which I didn't think very worked. The reason I brought that forward is I didn't think it worked very well, kind of clunky mechanically.
Right.
And as a process, because what would happen was, so the council, anybody from the council could put anything on the agenda. You just give it to the city. Our city clerk, Anne Marie McKay, and then she'd have to put it on the agenda just for discussion at the next meeting. But what happened was some of these issues would come up, and then some residents would say, like, well, why do I have to talk about it twice? Once when you just have a chat about it, deciding whether or not you want to go forward with a particular recommendation, and then have to come back and testify again. So that didn't work really well. And then, you know, I thought when we put this newer process in where you could just do that, you know, this would be kind of more of an occasional process. Because, you know, when I think about the city, you know, we have, you know, Sheree Dupree has to run the city, has to operate the city. So there's everyday work,
right,
associated with that, which we're not really involved in and probably don't know very much about, have deep knowledge about, because, you know, it's the mechanics and running of the city. That's not really the council's job. And then on top of that, they have to execute on our strategic priorities and anything else that comes up in the interim, you know, that may come up as unanticipated or something we need to work on. So, you know, those are the kind of things. But if I said the council meeting, what if every council member threw something on agenda every week? So we'd have five. So like in the last 6 months, we would have had 50 items. And at the end of the year, we'd have 100. I mean,
right,
what are you supposed to do? So I think I held up the cup because I'm a business person. And, you know, I held up my water cup and I said, look, you know, if a cup's full and you keep pouring water in it, you're not going to be able to do anything. So, yeah, I'm just looking for a more efficient process, and I think it was a good way to handle it. Because really, if you put it in, the city manager has to bring it forward as soon as staff gets a chance to look at it, you know, within 30 to to 60 days. But if we don't have, she doesn't have resources, since she comes back right away next meeting and says, hey, I don't have resources or anything you want us not to do if we want us to do this. So, I mean, it's just basically trying to balance the workload and, you know, making sure, you know, the wheels keep running at the city properly without getting, you know, off on tangents and things like that. Also, you know, some of our city committees, they want to bring things forward to the council and to the city manager. So a better way to do that, to make sure that everybody's kind of in lockstep, is, you know, each one of these committees has a council liaison. If a you know, committee has their work plan, they want to bring something forward, they get it ready, they work with their council liaison, they bring it forward to the city manager. So it's kind of a more organized way. So, you know, no, we want to make sure that the cities, the committees and all these residents that are working so hard on these committees, get it, make sure that when something comes forward to us, they basically gave it the, you know, the thumbs up, and it's ready to be seen by the council. So that's really the background behind it.
Right. I really thought that you wrapped it up beautifully with the cup full of water. That was a brilliant analogy, first of all. And when you think about the amount of work that the city manager has to do, yeah, it is more than just taking care of the needs of city council. You know, there's banners to be hung on forests. There's public works work to be done. There are people that are asking for days. There's all kinds of things that a city, that the manager has to do. Manage the city, quite frankly. So yeah, that's a way to streamline it. Fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be better. And you know, she's got a big job. People, and I sometimes think the council doesn't always appreciate how hard that job is. She's got, you know, she's, you know, we're a full service city, so she's got public safety, police and fire and marine safety, right, to worry about too. It's not, you know, in these other cities where they have, you know, the county comes in and runs, they have OCFA for fire and they have the county for sheriff, and they don't have an ocean. It's a little less work, but in our case, and then we have our complicated sewer system.
Right.
It's not as simple. And then we're going through COVID and all kinds of things that are happening in every city. I'm on these mayor's calls. We haven't had one for a little while, but you know, every city is going through a unique period of time.
Right.
So
right.
It's just a little, it's more challenging than it has been in the past.
Right. You mentioned the police. There was also a letter agreement between the City of Laguna Beach and the Laguna Beach Police Employees Association to temporarily increase overtime pay and provide hiring incentives to address staffing challenges in recruiting, hiring, and retaining qualified police officers and dispatchers. I think my question is, what exactly is the challenge to retaining those qualified officers? And is it that other municipalities pay more, or what exactly is the issue?
Well, I mean, it's an issue for every city. So this is not unique to Laguna Beach. So in our case, we had, you know, I think Trace had 4 officers out on injury. And then we had, of course, we had COVID go through the department. And then, you know, it's not a trivial thing to hire a police officer, because you have to do the recruiting. The recruiting's hard, and then they have to go through training. Less training, of course, if you come over from another agency or another department, another city. But, you know, if you're getting somebody out of, you know, the academy, that doesn't mean they're ready to roll on the street. You know, they have to be trained and all that kind of thing. So when you're in a very competitive environment for, you know, police departments and other city positions as well, when you're in a competitive situation, you know, it's difficult. And, you know, I haven't talked to Jeff Calvert about this in detail, but, you know, I think police departments in general are under more pressure because of, you know, the past, defund the police and all that kind of stuff that went on. And, you know, it just, you know, I think it's hard. It's harder to recruit people, not because it's Laguna Beach necessarily, but just because of the profession in a way. But beyond that, you know, we also are, this is what we started last year. So when we had COVID last year, the year before last, when we had all those visitor impacts, where we had people, you know, flooding our trails and beaches and stuff because they couldn't do anything else. So they came here. And so we did this whole neighborhood protection plan. And in the middle of that, I was talking to the police chief, and I said, you know, can you go up to the top of the world and hang out up there, because they're having a lot of issues. And so we figured out that we just can't, you know, we don't have enough staff to handle all that kind of behavior. And so what we said for the neighborhoods, we're going to hire these park rangers. And park rangers are different than, like, beach patrol. Beach patrol people walk around and tell people, hey, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, can't drink on the beach kind of stuff, because they couldn't write any tickets.
Right.
These park rangers can can do that, will be able to do that. They're not sworn, full sworn officers, but they can do a lot of the stuff that, you know, we don't really need our sworn officers to do. So we've got two of those people on board and we're gonna have a total of 10.
Okay.
So, and some of them are in background. Background checks take a long time. Some of them are in training. So, you know, eventually we'll get all these people in. So in the meantime, we just offered double overtime to get some incentives for people to work. We're not in any danger in the town, right, just to be clear. But we want full staffing. You never want to have a problem with your staffing levels. And we're fine, but more people will come on as a result. And also, on bonus, thinking about bonuses in the short run, of course, we have a PEA, Police Association contract negotiations coming up, so I don't want to go into too much detail on any of that because it's not really appropriate.
Right.
But we are going to, you know, pay recruiting bonuses. If you come in, you get, I think, $7,500, and then after a couple of years, you get the other part. So that's a way to keep people on board. We do this in business all the time. I was personally put on retention bonuses a number of times, and I put people on retention bonuses or hiring bonuses. So, you know, it's common. It's not usually done in cities.
Right.
But this is what we're doing.
Okay. And when you're talking about when it states temporary increases over overtime and pay, ideally, what do you think would be a good amount of time?
You mean
to increase the overtime pay until we're fully staffed up. What would you think is a good amount of time?
Well, I think we pass through the council through the end of the year.
Okay.
So we'll just have to see. You know, they put that together quicker. That was really smart, and they worked with the association on that. So, yeah, I think we have it till the end of the year, and then we'll kind of see, you know, how it works. So okay. It's kind of somewhat of a trial balloon, not exactly, but, you know, just some incentives and some ways to get, you know, people working just a little bit longer.
Okay. All right. The city now owns the library, and that purchase price is going to be used to refurbish the library. And Sheree advised that as of yesterday, the lease went back to the county, the county lease is in place. Explain how that works, please.
Well, yeah, so we have the library, the county owned those. So there's not just one parcel where the library is. There's actually four. And we had a 50-year lease that lease expired in 2020 with the county, and at that time we had the option, a purchase option with the county if we wanted to purchase those properties. So, of course, you know, we'd like to have all those parcels back. And so we signed a deal with the library where, you know, in return for purchasing the property, they would keep that money. So it's, I think it's $4.2 million. They would keep that money and use that to refurbish the library. You know, I went along with it. I don't love the fact that the county, that we have deferred maintenance on that building that the county hasn't done. So we pay for the building, and then that money goes into refurbishing the building. Now, they could just pocket the money and not do that for us. So on the other hand, it's not too bad. But, you know, it's an okay deal in that regard. But they're gonna run the library for the next 25 years and maybe longer, and then we get those parcels back. So, you know, overall, I think it worked out well. This has been in the works for a couple of years, but COVID in the middle of it, kind of we stopped worrying about all that because we had all these other things to worry about in the city because of COVID. So,
right.
Yeah. So overall, it's a done deal, and yeah, I think it's good for our town.
Okay. Cool. We also saw a video. Cassie Walder, she put together a pretty cool video about the promenade and the public input process. How long is that process? How long does the public get to voice their input?
Yeah, so we're going to have, I think it's going to be over a period of months because, you know, we're going to get input, then they're going to go back. The consultants will go back and do some work and then come back again. But, you know, it's going to be cool because we have a survey. So we have, you know, the QR codes on the promenade, different places. You can just click that and put your input in really quick on the survey, which is the best way to get input. Because it's kind of a quick and dirty way to get input on, you know, like five or six questions, which, you know, gives us, you know, broader input. And, you know, people who may not come to some of these sessions that we're having, you know, they have a chance to do it while they're just kind of walking through. The promenade gets a lot of people walking through, particularly in the morning. A lot of residents walk through with their dogs. And right. You know, when you go down there early in the morning, it's really cool in the morning. Just very, you know, there's nothing open, but people are walking around, walking through. It's just kind of nice. So anyway, yeah, we're going to be doing that. And I think, you know, with all this input, some good ideas. We have a lot of talented people in this town, so we'll get some good ideas. And I think, you know, we'll have a good, nice permanent plan.
Right. You know what? You mentioned the promenade in the morning. You're right. In the morning, there is something special about the promenade. I actually got out of the truck today. Our banner is hanging. So we've got the KXFM KX Fest banner hanging. So I went to take a look at it this morning. And yeah, it was really cool. I ran into a couple of old neighbors walking their dogs. It's a really cool spot in the morning.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, walking on the boardwalk down there in the morning and then coming up into the town through the promenade. It just has a really nice feel.
Yeah. So what do you got planned over the next couple of days?
Well, I have a lot of, I filled out my intention to run for council, and, you know, that was a student news card that I wasn't expecting that, but you have to fill out this 501 with the clerk. So I did, like, Mark Orgel and I are both in the paper. I've been more out there about. So anyway, I have to start working on that. It's a lot of work.
Right.
On that, and I have some other little projects I want to work on. So I'm just going to. I still have my stupid hip problem, so I can't walk around. I'm getting that injection in 15th, and I'm like just dying for it. It can't come fast enough. I've been dealing with this stupid thing for, you know, 4 months now and just really over it.
I totally, absolutely, completely know the feeling. Trust me there. So does it hurt the hip with your hip? Does it hurt more as you're sitting still, or do you need to be up and moving? Or when is the least amount of pain for you?
Walking.
Walking, yeah.
Walking, and it's just not a, you know, it's not like I need a hip replacement. I have an injury there, and we have a plan to fix it, but it's just, you know, like anything, I'm a little bit older now, but I've played so many sports all my life, and I hurt something, I'm like, oh, well, don't worry about it. This never did.
Right.
So I'm like, wait, when did I hurt this? May 15th? Okay, well, there's no natural healing going on here.
Oh, yeah. You and I are actually in the same boat, pretty much. Different injuries, but in the same boat. And I wish you all the best health. And thankfully, our mayor is running again, and I really appreciate that as a citizen. So thank you for doing that. Thank you continuing to want to serve us.
Thank you. Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's going to be running. People don't realize running for office is a lot of work. And it's fun to talk to a lot of people. That's one thing you get when you're running for office. You talk to a lot of people, right. You know, so that's the fun part. But you have to get your act together on right. The other parts where running your ads and doing all that stuff.
So one more kind of personal question, if you don't mind. When you're out at dinner, since you've been on the council and since you've been mayor, when you're out at dinner somewhere in one of our many fine restaurants here in town, is there ever a time where someone does not walk up to you, or are you constantly getting walked up to and spoken to about stuff that you know, that's work related?
Well, no, people are, you know, they do come up to me when I'm out and about, especially if I'm sitting still. But, yeah, they do come up. Everyone's very nice.
Right.
Or once in a while, someone will say to me, hey, I have an issue. Can you call me sometime or give me your phone number or whatever? And that's fine with me. But, you know, I'm not like a big celebrity here. Most of the time people, you know, we all know each other in the community. A lot of us know each other. I know a lot of people in the town.
Right.
And so, you know, you always see people wave to them and stuff. You know, it's just, it's a small community. So, of course, that's the way it's going to be, right?
Right.
So, and it's. Yeah, but it's, you know, it is not as frequent as you might think, but, you know, especially in the summer, because a lot of tourists here. So if you're out somewhere, you see more people that you don't know than you know.
Yeah, I get that guy that comes up to me and goes, hey, man, that song you played this morning really sucked. I hated it. I'm like, what the?
Well, you know, people can say stuff to me like along those lines sometimes, too. It's part of the deal. It's part of the deal, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Mayor Sue Kempf, as always, we thank you so much. I wish you great health, and I can't wait till you get that hip taken care of. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Ed. Great to be with you this morning.
Thank you. Great to chat with you as well. 8:52 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.